are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
The accords have been broken. We all know that's very serious because we all know that we're supposed to follow the accords. What are the accords? I'm not sure. It just has to do with ghosts and stuff. But they've been broken, damn it. I, Mindy, have been tasked to set things right as my family has for all these generations. Me and my sister in this knife. I don't know how she got there, but we'll do some damage, yo. Robert, go load your guns. We're gonna go hunt some ghosts tonight. I don't have, like, the theater comedy tragedy mask. I guess you'll just have to do something from Phantom of the Opera. Or...
I think they're attacking young Tressie.
Damn it, they're out again. I knew I should have packed another Kit Kat. Young Tressie, we'll save you. Don't worry. Like I said, my sister is gonna say some words with whatever Goost and Ghoulie is breaking the accords, because we all know not to break the accords. She's speechless.
Oh, that was me. Oh, what's my line? I drank too much this morning. Sorry. Don't tell my agent.
Too much dragon blood from young Jenna over there. Me, I just have the sparkling water and a nagging cough, so I suppose it'll have to do. We all know when the accords are broken, the only way to begin to fix it is say our review of Tressie, the Netflix supernatural anime based on the Filipino comic. So, whichever wants to start to fix the accords.
I will just say this. I think this show totally satisfied every sibling's desire to get rid of their younger sister. I'm just gonna say
that. Hey, I'm the younger sister.
I am too.
I'm the younger brother, but I felt that.
I did too. I was like, dang, a knife? Really? Like, that's what we are. No, this show was actually, took me a minute to get into it because I just could not get down with the character development of our main character, okay, who's a Tressie, what is a Tressie?
Alexandra Tressie, it's her last name.
Oh, it's her last name.
Yes.
Wow. So, Mindy, you might want to take this one. I thought Tressie was like a special, like, social sect of magicians.
Well, I mean, it's okay. I guess pass it over to me. So, the focus is on Alexandra Tressie, who is a private detective. She doesn't work with the police, but she's often called in order to help out with supernatural crimes. And she's called because her father essentially kind of created a peace treaty between all the supernatural beings and humans. The Accords. And there's constantly the Accords must not be broken thing throughout the thing. And much of it is episodic. The first one's about the sacrifice of a ghost. That same one deals with goblins and kidnapping of people for food. There's another one that deals with some supernatural force going after this actress. You know, there are episodic things, but one of the big through lines is one learning how Alexandra got into her position and her relationship with her dad. But also, there is the mayor. And the mayor is doing some evil supernatural shit that is essentially trying to take over the world and break the accords in the name of war. And she must stop it because that's no bueno.
Yes.
So, how did everybody feel about this anime once you figured out what was going on and that her last name was not a title?
I dug it. I don't watch a lot of anime. If anime means half-hour series stuff, there's almost none that I really watched. One thing I did kind of keep up with the last 10 years or so is DC animated movies. Mm-hmm. And so this first and last episode, and the show's EP'd by Jay Oliva, who directed The Dark Knight Returns, Batman Bad Blood, and Justice League Dark, which I really dug because I'm a horror fan. I'm not really into fantasy stuff as much, but the animated horror that I've seen, I have really dug. This one, I'm a big fan of exposition dumps, so I can see where the first half of the finale might be a bit much for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But I love the format of this thing. Like, the first episode kind of plays, like, not too harsh on the graphic side, but then it is hardcore blood and guts and... kills and yeah. gore and stuff. And I like that they took the choice to do the flashbacks in black and white.
That
I think
was
on
an
episodes
choice, yeah,
in a couple of the episodes, because as some of them end, especially 2, 3, and 4, it's really gory, and then it almost seems like it resets because you're still seeing violence and bloodshed aftermath and all that, but it's in black and white, so it kind of tones it down, I think, a little bit, because it really is like mostly action this series, which I dug that it was almost a monster of the week kind of thing, but it had enough for 6 episodes to run something throughout the whole thing. But I will say one thing that I really dug is, as soon as I figured out that we were talking about her father was dead, I was really afraid of the Freud's father complex. This is all about proving she's hardened. It reminded me of Constantine, because everybody and all this horrible stuff, and she's like, let's go to the next one. Come on, let's go. Let's do this. There's no real crisis of faith with her, which I found was really refreshing. Like, this is the task. It's horrible. Let's keep going. So that being that short, I love that it just got into it. So I thought that was all stuff I really dug.
One thing you say about the gore, yes, this thing is really gory, but one of the things that I appreciated about it is that it didn't feel like it was gratuitous gore. Because there are some animes that I have seen where it just felt like, we're doing gore because gore is cool.
Yeah.
And it's like, no. And this one had a lot of blood, and there are things where like people are being ripped open. There's one animation where it's like a god comes out of a person and explodes from them. And it's like, holy shit. Yeah. But it doesn't feel like, hey, look at the gore, aren't we cool? It's like, no, this is part of the supernatural aspect of it, and it's gory. It adds to it instead of detracts, which I really appreciated, because it could easily have gotten gratuitous.
It's interesting that you all are saying this is gory, because I don't think it was gory at all. Because of the animation mainly, so I didn't read the comic, but I'm definitely going to buy it now.
Definitely.
Because I'm like 50-50 with animation. I kind of wish they stuck with how the comic was drawn. I don't know. I miss that type of drawing, that kind of gothic emo. It just gives her a different sense of character. So I would have understood why she was so hardened.
Yeah.
Because the animation of her is actually kind of soft. Yeah. So when she's like in I don't give a fuck mode, I'm looking at her like, girl, are you really about that life? Because it's just not giving. It's not giving what it's supposed to give. And since it's not like what people think traditional anime is, and doesn't have that kind of roughness to it. It reminded me actually of early 90s cartoons.
Yeah.
It reminded me actually of watching the Batman animated series. That's exactly what it looked like.
Yeah.
To me personally.
Well, the only place I've really seen horror in that style really is with the Constantine stuff. And that might be why I really dug it, because we're talking about with the tone, Mindy, that it's gory in that if you read what happened in some of those scenes, like in that big dining room, like, oh my God. But like you're talking about the soft, the inkier style of the comic, she looks more like the Crow than like, you know, like the stuff on TV. But when they soften with this kind of animation, I think I just liked it because like what Mindy's saying, that some of these really do go all the way where we get long sound effects for blood squirting. And this one, it was this weird mix. Like if this was a live action 1 hour on HBO 5 years from now, I think it'd be amazing. Like the opening titles remind me of like True Detective. It reminds me of a lot of stuff. But even when I'm talking about the older DC stuff from the last couple of years, it's not that it's like that. They're doing their own thing. The story, like Mindy was kind of mentioning before we got on the air, it does kind of seem like they have a lot going on and we got very little of it.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. This show is only 6 episodes long and those episodes are only half an hour.
Yeah.
So it feels like there is so much going on in the comic that they had to cut.
Yes.
It feels like we just dipped in on Tressé's kind of day-to-day, and this is the kind of crisis we saw.
Yeah, and that arc with the God of War, that one, again, you only had 2.5 hours in order to set this huge epic battle up. And I think they did good with what they had.
Yeah.
But it very clearly feels like there should have been more.
Oh, yes.
And you mentioned that big exposition dump, and I'm like, Yeah, that was part of it. It's like, if they had had more time to stretch out that exposition as opposed to just, these are all the things that are happening that I have to say before we have this big fight, it would have been a bit smoother and it wouldn't have just been like, plot, fight now.
Because they used, with no spoilers, with a lot of these kind of mystery thriller thread shows, is where you've got a lot of bad people, but only at the very end of the end are you going to find out who was the big bad type
they
of thing.
They monologue!
Which usually works pretty good in several more hours of television, you know?
Right. But the thing about it is you can tell from the way they present it that there's a lot of good stuff in the comics.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think all of us are like, now I'm interested in the comics because of this show.
I was going to say, usually that's the opposite that happens. People get interested in the show because of the comic. But I'm kind of glad that this is vice versa. I mean, it won 10 awards. It's pretty well known in that arena. I just haven't heard of it. And now I literally just ordered it and bought it because I'm like, oh yeah, I think this is going to be like my new favorite kind of horror, like how you said Constantine, where it's like they're solving these cases, but instead of being angels and demons, it's something a little different.
Yeah.
And I think for me too, that's why I was kind of like iffy on this show, because we were dropped right into it. So it took me out a lot. So I would sit there and kind of go with it. But then I was like, again, her character is so stone. Like, there is no range of emotion. You're not giving me anything, honey. You're just giving me that you need a vacation very badly. And all the emotional plot points where we should feel something for her, especially when I finally understood that there was a time gap. I'm not going to give it away. There was a time gap. To me, I really should have felt that, because when the next reveal comes in the last episode, it really should have, like, is she really happy with who her dad was? You know what I mean? Because like how Robert said, we don't have this crisis of faith. But I think it would have been a great opportunity instead to really talk about how we look at our parents and sometimes how we pedestal our parents and how our parents really do determine a lot of our lives. That would have been a great more like conflict for her, especially since it's all about her choice.
And also versus her destiny, because that is brought up too.
Yeah.
You know, she has a very prophetic birth, and so it's like, oh, well, you must be this.
Mm-hmm.
But again, there isn't a lot of time to focus on it, so it's only mentioned kind of here and there, and then in the exposition dump.
Yeah. But I love, my favorite character out of that whole thing was Captain Guerrero. He was my favorite. That's, bruh, he came out with a rocket launcher, bro.
Oh, yeah.
He was my guy.
He said, I'll be back. This isn't enough.
Facts. And I love the fact that he, for me, grounded this show in a way to where I wanted to keep watching. Like, I really wanted to follow him, for real. I mean, there was a lot of history between him and her dad, too. And that's what goes back to, like, we see all these things they're hinting at. And I'm just hoping that, like, this will end up being like Castlevania, where, like, the first season of it, it's like, all right, girl, you gave. And I'm here for it. I love it. But I need a little bit more. And they give us that more. I'm hoping they do that with this series, because I don't know if this is the type of universe where if people leave, right? I'll say that. If they come back.
Because but, ghosts aren't technically dead, so maybe.
That's true. And he was just so dope. And honestly, the animation grew on me. The God of War villain actually was pretty dope, even though he was pretty one-dimensional. But I still enjoyed it. Like Robert said, it's a very odd mix. Yeah. Like, I can't say it's like the greatest anime ever, but I'm literally looking forward to season two.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Now I'm getting invested into these characters, especially the brothers.
I love the brothers.
Those
love
were awesome, right, too. They were so funny. Team Tresse, and she was like, no. She's me every morning. Let's just say that. The side characters in this are actually really well done,
they
in
are.
My personal opinion. And they really fleshed out the world in here. And I think that's why I do like it as much as I do. It's something that I like. I won't say it's well made, but it's something that I like. And it's the world building for me. The flashbacks, they owe Family Guy some royalties. Because my guy, like, come on, y'all. Y'all could have just made that shit an episode and called it a day. But they did it repetitive enough to where it was like, all right, this is how y'all do in this format. I'm just going to have to deal with it. I hope for season two we get a little bit of different animation style. Just give us a little bit more ruggedness so it can really like solidify. It doesn't need to go like super Dark Knight or like Sin City, for example. It doesn't have to be that gritty. But I need something a little rough. And I would like for them to build her character a little bit more. Because because we've seen these type of female characters in like more of the Marvel live action series with like Jessica Jones, but eventually that gets boring, right? So I'm just hoping that they'll flesh her out a little bit more so we can kind of get more of her personality and understand why she's so stone and so cold, because she is raw. She's very tactical, technical. Girl knows her stuff, but I can't really connect because you're so emotionally detached.
And to be fair, they do set up in the end credit scene that I think is going to go more into her backstory.
Yes, yes, I forgot about that.
Yes, the last episode has a credit scene, so make sure you stick around for it.
Stay for the stinger.
Yes, stay for the stinger.
And on that note, I will sting it over to you, Robert. What are your final thoughts?
I loved it off top. I thought Manila's gorgeous and the opening sequences, like I said, some weird, if they had put some kind of slow honky tonk, not honky tonk, but like rockabilly ballad over that title. Like, I don't know what it is. It reminded me of True Detective, but I thought the folklore is refreshing and it's fascinating. It wasn't like, oh, look, that's what this is. I want to know more about all of this stuff. The magic was cool and the supernatural mechanics are great. Like the little string spiritual magnet that she's walking around compass type thing.
Oh yeah, that was cool.
And so I think that mashed with an animation style that I dug, I think that was a really good match. But the biggest thing for me is that all of the characters are interesting. In six episodes, we don't get a lot of anybody. There's obviously a lot of her and the dad, but it's mostly in service of the story instead of the character. But you were kind of saying, I'd watch an episode, a solid Bato episode on anybody in here. Mm-hmm. Any of the villains, the giant horse dude, the party girl ghost, the chief's second guy, the brothers, the dad, the god of war, like all of that stuff.
His wife?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, his wife. Yeah, her mom. Yeah.
Or hopefully more on the sisters. So for me, it's a easy, I'm gonna do like 4.5 out of 5 weird title sequences. I don't know what it is about it, but I never skipped it. And in the last one, I actually went back and tried to figure out what I liked about it so much, but it got me. This was my jam.
Awesome. And what about you, young Trissa Luna?
Well, definitely, number one, I want to live in this world. That's it. I want to live in this city. I want to live in this world. And I want to be like her sidekick. Kind of like her administrative assistant, but I'm learning the ropes so when she like gets tired one day, I can take over. So, you know, Netflix call me, somebody call me. I do agree with Robert. I like the fact that this introduces Filipino folklore that a lot of folks who aren't Filipino or who aren't familiar with their culture, it's a nice introduction to kind of get people interested, right? And I'm always here for it. And I appreciate the animation, although it's all like personal preferences, but I think you'll like it. Again, it definitely gave me 90s vibes, so I felt like I was a kid again watching like the afternoon cartoons and was just like sitting here enjoying all of it. I had to watch it a few times because, again, with most of the series being through her narrative perspective, for me, since I can't really connect with her emotionally, like how I'm supposed to, how they set the plot points, I kind of like zoned in and out. And it was only until the other characters in the show, like Robert listed, especially my guy, my Sagittarius, my BoJack Horseman, when he came on there, man, he was cool as shit, bro. He turned into a car out here transforming and shit. Like, what? And so these are like awesome characters and it got me really excited. And then I started paying attention again. And it was because of those characters. So I feel like for season two, because there's going to be a season two, I just hope they really give us a little bit more in her character arc and give us a little bit more of just character development. So even if we do learn how she got to be where she is today or why she chose to be so emotionally detached, it'll give the audience a reason to like root for her. You know what I mean? And really want to sit there and be with her on her journey. But this was a really great find and I can't wait for season two. And I feel like it's only going to get better with each subsequent series. I love the gore in it. To me, it was perfect. It wasn't too much. So I actually give this a 3.9 out of 5 times. I really thought I was going to see Ludacris and the rest of the Fast and Furious gang when I saw that drag race. I was ready for somebody to be like, it's family. It's family.
My cousin Toretto.
Right? I was waiting for them to hop out the cuts. I was.
Well, I mentioned it a little bit before. One of the things that I am finding about particularly Netflix, these shows, is that they're finding a lot of comics that aren't mainstream and are making live action or anime versions of and getting people exposure to these things. And I think that is fantastic. I mean, they did it with Umbrella Academy. I mean, I felt that way about Jupiter's Legacy. There's Lock and Key. And now there's Chesse. And, you know, as we said, yes, this show is short, but you can tell there is so much in there. And you can tell there's so much we want to know, because they were able to present it in a way that, okay, we have a very short time limit, but this stuff is really interesting, we promise. And it's like, I can see that. I like that. I want to know more about that. So that is something, as a massive comic book lover, I so appreciate this show for. But that said, it's very short. And so you get like the little taste of chocolate icing, and then you're like, but I want the rest of the cake. And so the fact that you don't get the rest of the cake is disappointing. But as you said, I love the characters. I especially love the little brothers. They're hilarious. And so having such a stoic main character with those two wacky, silly boys behind her shooting magic bullets. I love them. They're amazing. The backstory was interesting. I just wanted to know more of it. That's the main thing. It's like, all these characters are interesting. I just wanted to know more. And they better have a season two so I get to know more, especially with that stinger, because it feels like we gonna know more. So I'm gonna give it slightly more than Jenna and give it 4 out of 5 Kit Kats that you give to the sewer creature so he can give you some intel.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, because that sewer creature loves his chocolate.
Yes, he does.
And this is saying, is he friends with Oscar the Grouch living in that sewer? They sharing little Mars bars down there.
They probably do. In the spirit of Loki, because they're similar in their story arcs of finding yourself. That was a nice little twist. Not everybody who's bad is bad, and not everybody who's good is good. So that was very interesting to see. I was not ready for that. So I do appreciate that.
But we all can say they love Kit Kats.
They do love, I love Kit Kats.
The universal truth, supernatural human, we all love Kit Kats.